This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Our next guest, of course, is a wonderful community celebrity, healthcare provider, GP researcher extraordinaire, the wonderful Dr. Ruth McNair. Ruth has actually just completed authoring a very interesting piece of work, a report which is called Journeys Home. And what it does is it actually details the experience that young LGBTI people have with their families and one of the consequences of rejection that may contribute towards homelessness in young people. Good morning, Ruth. How are you?
Hi, Tess. Very well.
Excellent. So just so that you know, Ruth, we've got Peter Hitchener in the studio.
Hi, Ruth. Good morning.
And hey, Mac. And yes, Macca, of course.
Hey, Ruth.
Hey, Macca.
So, Ruth, tell us about this piece of work. What were the key findings?
Yeah, so we were really interested in LGBTI homelessness for young people and older. We understood from the community and from homelessness services that we have an overrepresentation of LGBTI people seeking homelessness services, and so we wanted to unpack the reasons. So we did quite a few things. We looked at the Journeys Home study, which is one particular aspect, so that's a longitudinal study of homelessness in Australia. We also looked at interviewing some homelessness providers, services providers, and then interviewed some LGBTI people, and those interviews are still going ahead. We've got a few to come in the next few months. And those people had all experienced homelessness at some point. So we've sort of triangulated all of this information to work out what is the picture. And as you said, family rejection is a really big part of homelessness, which we sort of understood from talking to people anyway, but it was really loud and clear as one of the key drivers of homelessness in our communities.
So can you say that through your research you've established that their family rejection with young people, young LGBTI people, may contribute towards homelessness?
Yeah, I think we can happily say that now. I mean, it's so complex and multifactorial. So, you know, that's one of the big ones. And I think one of the pieces of evidence for that was from Journeys Home study. You know, they asked people when they were first homeless, what age they became homeless first. And the bisexual people in that study were much likely to be homeless at a younger age than the lesbian and gay people and heterosexuals. So, you know, we still have to work out what's going on for the bisexual population, but it seems that, you know, their sexual orientation diversity is somehow inflaming families or, you know, creating rejection that then means they're homeless for a period of time in their young life, and this might be from 15 or 16, whereas other people it might be from 18 or 19. So, you know, this is quite an important area. Mm. And, of course, the younger a person becomes homeless, the more likely they are to be vulnerable to other issues, such as mental problems,
addictions,
drug and alcohol issues,
yes.
Addiction. And, I mean, another big one that came through from talking with the LGBTI people who'd experienced homelessness was the issue of education. So if you're homeless as a high school student, it is really hard to maintain education, you know. Mm. That's your last priority. Your first priority is getting food, finding somewhere to sleep, putting your stuff somewhere, avoiding abuse and violence on the streets or wherever you happen to be. And then down the list, a long way, is getting to school.
Yeah, wow. And, so, you know, so all these issues, you know, interact with each other, and we end up with a situation which is really quite hopeless, really, isn't it?
I wonder, do we know
it
how long?
Be. Hmm.
Do we know how long these periods of homelessness last for, and what the outcomes are, and whether there is any sort of light at the end of the tunnel for people who find themselves in this situation for these reasons?
Well, I think homelessness has gathered such attention in the last few years in the mainstream community as well. So what we're seeing is this additive effect for LGBTI people. And we understand that as a cascade of events. So where a heterosexual young person might find themselves homeless but manage to gain family support or other community support, an LGBT person, and intersex we haven't really explored very well yet with LGBT, they might find that their support network is much more limited. And this is one of the drivers as well, that, you know, not only have they become homeless younger, but also their support networks might be more fragile. Mm. So, you know, that seems, we think, to be leading to longer periods of homelessness at a time, than repeated episodes of homelessness, which are more likely for LGBT people. And just talking of trans and gender diverse people as well, you know, that seems to be a more disadvantaged group, in that families understand gender diversity even less than they understand sexual orientation diversity. And so these people are having to traverse their gender identity development through a period of family rejection as well. So, you know, I think if we're talking about how long does this last and how do people escape from homelessness, you know, it seems that finding supportive community is hugely important, finding friends that will support people. And, you know, I think an important thing to note from our study is that a lot of these people who'd experienced homelessness, it wasn't living on the streets. It was just couch surfing. Trying to find friends or places. Yep. You know, these are things, so that they're invisible to the statistics. You know, most people would find a place to stay with a roof over their head, but the definition of homelessness we're using is about housing insecurity. Mm. And people say, you know, they don't know where they're going to live week to week. They had nowhere to put their stuff permanently. So, you know, these were issues that don't necessarily hit the front page.
And, of course, they don't have the support of family, presumably, and so that's what that thing that so many of us can take for granted is just denied them. It's a loss from their life.
Yeah.
Ruth, you mentioned in some of the in your report that one of the other solutions, in addition to the things that you've talked about, is an LGBTI safe housing network. What is that?
So this is an idea that was put to us by a couple of the service providers and also some LGBTI people themselves. So the issue here is it's really hard to find housemates, so people who would share housing with you who are LGBTI inclusive, and that was another driver, that people find a shared house and find that their housemates were homophobic or transphobic and it wouldn't last. So, you know, that's one thing. How do you find housemates that are going to be inclusive? How do you find an estate agent that's not going to put you at the bottom of the list because you're gender diverse or you're not in a heterosexual coupled arrangement? How do you find a social housing association that's going to be advocating for you rather than suspicious of you? You know, so the idea of a safe housing network was really to draw information together, have it available to people about what are the services that are LGBTI inclusive, how do you find supportive housemates, which estate agents have put their hands up to say we're LGBTI inclusive and advocating for your needs. And, you know, this is a piece of work that would go on for years because the system isn't yet very LGBTI inclusive at all. But with our training and understanding, we'll build a list of these groups and organisations that are supportive.
Ruth, thank you very much. This is a very interesting topic. We've had previous conversations with people like Tony Keenan from Launch Housing, who's talked about some of their experience in trying to find accommodation for young LGBTI homeless people. And it's an issue that constantly recurs. So we will keep an eye on this. Thank you for your time this morning. And just to inform our listeners, if they're interested in this piece of research, where can they find the report to read in more detail?
So we've got a website, the LGBTIHomeless.com. And that's our website. It includes the report, way to contact us, give us feedback. There's a blog that we're going to start soon to get some conversation going. It acknowledges all the partners, including Launch Housing, who've been fantastic.
Oh, right. Excellent.
So, people can go to that website and find as much information as they need and also send us some information themselves.
Thank you very much. Yes. If you've just tuned in, we've been speaking with Dr. Ruth McNair, who's led a piece of research that's explored the relationship between family rejection and homelessness amongst young LGBTI people.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.